From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever cape wearing, ever forever evering, forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my producer, my friend, Count Bannock. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey, Bob. How's it going?
Oh, it's going, Count. What's going on with you?
Weekend update. You know what? Just another thrilling weekend of 2020. Not much happening here as far as my life goes, but you know, I look forward to these Tuesdays or these days we get to spend together, Bob, because I think the world just needs it.
You ain't kidding, Count.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I know you're gonna ask me for weekend plans, but Bob, I didn't do anything on weekend.
You didn't do anything this weekend?
Didn't do anything over the weekend, Bob.
Count, it was the holiday weekend. I need the weekend update.
All right, I did some Thanksgiving
stuff. All right, let's hear your weekend update.
Well, it's just I ate turkey. I ate some pie.
Okay.
That was about the extent of it. What else did I do? I watched that parade on TV without people in the audience, so that was something as well. What else did I do? I saw some Christmas lights. That was nice, I guess. So
This is like the most unenthusiastic weekend update you've ever given us.
What else? I'm trying. There's had to be something thrilling in there somewhere, but no, Bob. I can't really. It was pretty much a standard Thanksgiving weekend of 2020.
That's fair.
What more can you do?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Would you like to know my weekend update?
I would like to know your weekend, Bob.
My Thanksgiving was nice. I spent the Thanksgiving day with my folks because I was over there anyway. Spent some time with them, had dinner with them, watched the parade for the first time in years, because usually I'm doing the Chicago
parade.
I'm usually in the parade, so no parade on my end this year. So I got to actually sleep in, wake up, watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and then I watched trashy reality television,
yep,
which was thrilling, and then I spent the past few days just recuperating. It's just been kind of a quiet.
Must have been sentimental not being a part of the parade this year.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre.
He's got the sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Count, before we dive in here, you know, first things first, this first time you're ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we're the weekly show talking about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, weird cryptids out in the woods, lights in the sky, and Count Panic's favorite pie recipes.
That's true, which this time of year is pumpkin.
That's good.
Yeah.
When the veil's at its thinnest, Count Panic's going for the pie.
The pie is at its thinnest.
Yep. During the Thanksgiving holiday with Count Panic. We're going to get a pie update from you every week.
I'll have a pie of the week.
But we have a special guest this week. We have a huge special guest this week. And because you were the conductor of
I can't take credit for anything.
Yeah, listen, I have to give you credit on this one. Usually I'm the one that finds the guests. You're the one who came to me and said, I got this guest.
No, she's a region native, though.
I understand. We're going to get to that.
We're
going to get to that part.
Okay.
But you were the one that got this amazingly cool guest.
I told you about it.
So I'm going to let you do the introductions.
You want me to do the introduction?
I want you
to
do the
introduction. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
All right.
Well, yes.
Folks, zooming in right now.
Right now, live.
Kitsy Duncan from the Oddy Files, author of new book, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. Kitsy, on Zoom. Are you there? Wait, not yet, Kitsy. Kitsy, are you there?
I'm here.
Perfect.
Oh, there she is.
There we go. I knew I didn't mess that one up.
I missed that accent so much, guys. This is amazing.
The region accent where we say we don't pronounce our T's here in the Chicagoland area. Dis dat dees does.
Yep.
Whenever I travel to a convention and I do a talk, somebody's like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, the outskirts of Chicago?
It's true. I my Chicago accent comes out when I'm drinking. I don't know where it went other than that. Please tell me I don't have a southern twang, because I'd be really disappointed in myself if I do.
All right, folks, for those of you who don't know, and you probably should know, Kitsy, who are you?
I am a region rat that I didn't know it was called the region till I moved out of the region.
Really? Wow.
When did that become a thing? Seriously.
A big thing.
I
And the
was just
region rat
called it
is a big thing as
Northwest
well.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I graduated Griffith High School, go Panthers, and now a lover and completely obsessed with the paranormal.
And what a show you're on.
Well, it's funny. No, because Kitsy reached out and it was like, well, you know, there's a paranormal show on WJOB. And she was like, really? When was
Yeah,
that? When
no
I was around
idea.
here.
That's just how it works. Sometimes you
Now we got
fall into
one.
the paranormal
Yeah.
show on the radio
The
here
local radio
and
station.
popular podcast on the internet as well.
Very true.
Very much so. And the people who don't know the region jokes, you're probably going to get the region jokes tonight. We're going to crack a couple of those. So just be prepared. Because nothing says being prepared for a region joke like getting drunk at drunk and then going to eat it round the clock at 2 o'clock in the
There you
morning.
go.
Jedi's was my stomping ground.
Oh man, get some lemon
Oh
rice
yeah.
soup. They weren't 24 hours though, were they?
No,
No. Yeah, they were.
were they?
Oh my,
Really?
I don't think
Oh,
they
heck
are
yeah.
now.
They
I'm missing
burned
out on
to the
this.
ground,
They're
last I heard.
open now. I don't think they're open 24 hours, but round the clock is
Okay.
still rocking the 24 hours
They would have
there.
to change the name if they weren't open 24 hours. That'd be a You can't have that name if
So
you're not open
true.
24 hours.
For all of you that aren't from the region, round the clock is like the it's kind of like the bar scene in Star Wars when they're on Tatooine and they're at Mos Eisley and they're drinking at the bar, and that's where all the villainous and sky like scum of the universe like all hang out there. And Han Solo, aka me, that's pretty much it. That's where you go after a long night of drinking or like a long night of anything. You end up around the clock.
Yeah.
Minus the blue milk.
Listen, after a couple, you could probably make out the blue milk in that place. Like,
Well.
all right, folks. So before we dive in, because this entire episode is going to be about Kitsy, her adventures, and we're going to get to all of that. We have an update on a news story count, and I'm
Sure.
excited to kind of fill this in and get Kitsy's opinion as well. Last week on the show, we talked about the monolith of Utah.
Yes.
Kitsy, have you heard this story?
Oh, everybody's talking about it. I mean, there's no more election talk. It's all about the monolith. Bring it.
Yeah, the end of times as we know it. I'm literally, this is the apocalypse bingo. This is the final square. Because guess what, guys? The one in Utah is gone, and there's a new one. This time in Romania. I'm getting this from NPR, and we're going to be reading this word from word. Cue the X-Files theme, folks. The monolith mystery has deepened. Less than 2 weeks after authorities stumble across a mysterious metal object standing freely in the Utah desert, and just days after it disappeared mysteriously, a similar monolith has been reported nearly halfway around the world. Residents in the Romanian city of Piatra Neamț say that they have found another odd item that could have been ripped from the set of the 2001 Space Odyssey. The local newspaper reports that the monolith, like the one discovered in Utah, is about 10 to 12 feet tall and apparently composed entirely out of a dimly reflective metal. It was reportedly found standing on the, oh boy, the Bacta Domeo Plateau near an archaeological site overlooking the city. Journal FM, a local radio station from there, recorded video of the purported object, revealing an eye-aching sheen and loop markings along its surface. And the local radio station person says, "There is no reason to panic for those who think there is still life in the universe." And they're saying that my guess is some alien children, cheeky and terrible teenagers, left home with their parents' UFO and started planting metal monoliths around the world, first in Utah and then here. And they said, "I am honored that they have chose our city." The question goes now, and I'm excited to kind of get Panic's take and Kitsy's take on this, is straight invasion, 2001 Space Odyssey, or is it a publicity stunt? We'll start with ladies first. Count,
Sure.
Kitsy, what's your take on the story?
So I was really disappointed. I thought it was the same monolith when I read the headline at first. It is gone. I don't know if you are aware of that,
Yeah,
but it has been.
someone just chimed into the chat and said it's gone already.
Yeah, so I'm obsessed with this right now. I don't think it's the end of times. I don't. I think it's more wag the dog action, if anything else. But if you want to go conspiracy theories with it, but you know, it's a nice little something to pay attention to. I like just before I got on with you, came across this TikTok video where like these two like sorority chicks, I don't know who they are, went up to where the one was in Utah, and all they found was like a triangle piece of metal where the monolith was standing. However, whoever screen grabbed this TikTok zoomed into the background, and in the little crevice behind little sorority chick is this face smiling at the camera with jagged teeth. Food for thought.
Yikes.
I'll email that to you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate seeing that. I don't even know what to make of it, folks. Listen, we get really excited when we get our news stories every week, right? Sometimes I have follow-ups on them, and sometimes I get really excited, especially during the Mothman sightings. But this is like the first thing, minus our Mothman sightings, that I could legitimately say I'm awestruck by. I don't get excited, I get happy about the news stories, but there's rarely any that I get like super stoked and like I want to know more and I want to keep finding out more. This story has me perplexed and I don't know what to think of it. At first, the middle of the road guy, sometimes I am when it comes to my belief system, I want to say it's some sort of publicity stunt. Wouldn't it surprise me if they're announcing that they're rebooting 2001: A Space Odyssey soon. It's not beyond studios and high, paying ad revenue companies to get like publicity stunts out there to get something, the ball rolling on things. So will they announce a 2001 reboot? Maybe, and maybe that's what we're getting. But the believer in me can't let this go. And I don't know. Is it an alien thing? Is it, I don't know. I really don't know. Panic, what's your take on the
Well, here's
story?
the thing. Okay, so these are appearing, then disappearing one after another. There's two right now. Probably gonna get three. Just wait for it. We're probably gonna get three. Next time we see one pop up, we should just guard it. Somebody should stand guard of it and don't let it out of their sights.
Kosciuszko Park,
Because
East
it might
Chicago.
happen here in Kosciuszko Park in East
Kosciuszko
Chicago.
Park in East Chicago.
That'd be
That's
crazy. Romania, the desert, and Kosciuszko Park in East Chicago, Indiana.
the question is, I'm curious if and when there's another one. If it's going to be some sort of, I don't want to say triangulation location, but like if there's some sort of pattern with the, discoveries, like as far as geological significance between them. Do you know what I mean? You guys follow what I'm saying here? I'm
Well, here's a
curious.
thought.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Is there a ley line from the first one to the second one?
That would be one giant ley line, and I'm
It would be, but
witchy folk, our witchy audience. If you guys know what we're talking about here, chime in, let us know. Email me, bob@bobafterdark.com. Let me know if you're doing your ley line studies, and let me know if there is one, because that would be something. And Kitsy's on to something. That's the theory I'm sticking with. I like
I
it.
did see photos of humans removing the one in Utah on Twitter.
Ah, what?
So I was sad,
Not
but
alien?
you know, if it's an artist, go you,
Yo,
man, because you
absolutely.
killed it.
Why are they taking these down? Why don't they just leave them up and see what happens?
Oh, because somebody will deface it or
But isn't it
do
bad luck
stupid
if it's a
TikTok.
real thing to take it down?
We don't know. I guess we'll find out. It's like when those when the scientists discovered, the archaeologists discovered all of those mummies a few like a month ago when we were talking about it on the show, and it's like, ooh, bad luck. Yeah, it's probably bad luck. We probably shouldn't move that. So we'll see.
It's 2020. What else could go wrong?
Listen, famous last words, guys. Kitsy, before we move on to the next and final story and the rest of the show, we're going to be talking. You talking about you is somebody has a compliment for you. James
Oh.
from Peoria has chimed in and said he loves your studio. He was our guest last week, paranormal investigator out of Peoria, Illinois, and he did a parody of my studio setup I have when COVID's not a thing and I can have my props and stuff on the table. But he adores your studio space.
Oh, this is my podcast dungeon, man. I this palm reader sign I got on clearance after Halloween. I've got a couple haunted dolls on my shelf, and I collect oddities.
Yes, we're gonna talk about that soon. The haunted dolls, I don't know if you've got a chance to listen to the show before you came on at all. The common trope in Bob After Dark is how much I adore, and I say that the adore like sarcastically.
Be nice to them.
Yeah, be nice. Do you know what my fans do to me, Kitsy? Whenever I'm at a convention, you know, talking wherever, if I have an appearance somewhere, my fans like to bring me haunted dolls or send me them in the mail or give them to me as gifts in person.
You know, I'll take them.
You know what? I have a plethora of them now, and they all have different personalities, and I hate dolls. Scared that if there is one thing I say nope to, Colin, yeah, I don't know what your fear is. Your rotted cheese curd.
Garlic is my fear.
Garlic, yeah, no, haunted dolls, man. I can't do it. Like, literally toe to toe with cryptids, I could stare, you know, dealing with an exorcism, whatever. Been eye to eye with a lot of things. Haunted dolls, no, I'm out. I'm peacing out. Goodbye.
Opened one live on the air at one time.
We did. I remember when we got that weird one from Rob in Alabama, and we opened one up on the air, and no, that one sits in.
Be careful what you say. She's listening.
Oh, who's she? Oh, boy.
Your doll.
Oh, she's tucked away, well guarded. I warded that room so potently, and it sits in not my office. My office already has enough nonsense in there, the Ouija boards and the cursed objects and the, you know, the picture of Count Panic.
Signed, autographed.
This autographed picture of Count Panic.
How about that? 8x10s in my trunk.
Count, somebody in the chat's asking, what's your take on haunted cheese curds? And then we'll move on to the next story.
You know, I'd still try them out just to see if they are haunted or cheesy. Either one.
A ghost pepper.
Yeah, ghost pepper would
be a ghost pepper too. Cheese curd.
Yeah. That's spooky.
Kitsy, when you were a region person, you ever go up to Wisconsin and try a cheese curd?
Oh yeah, hey there, don't you know? I have all kinds of family up in Wisconsin.
That's our stomping grounds, believe it or not. I think we're more famous in Wisconsin than we are here.
One state at a time.
Oh my god, I love Wisconsin.
Oh my god.
Love it.
We were just talking before the show started. Unfortunately, we're not at the Krampus Festival this year in Milwaukee because, well, it's canceled. But man, that's Count's favorite. Get some curds and drink some Bells and Chains beer. And
it's a beautiful time.
I love Wisconsin. Conventions.
One of my favorite cryptids is the Beast of Bray Road. Come on.
We're actually, I don't know, I could spoil this. We're working on getting Linda Gottfried on the show to talk about her, the Beast of Bray Road soon.
Pretty cool.
Spoilers.
Get out.
Yep. Spoilers. We're not going to talk about
Jelly.
That yet.
Okay.
You're jinxing it.
But teaser, you know what? Teaser. Yes. But we have Kitsy on this time, and I'm. Can I just fawn real quick before we move on? Kitsy, I love your show. I was so excited to know that you were coming on, and I was like, okay, we're gonna move on.
You're one of my three fans. What?
I count. You've watched a show. There's four.
There's more than that.
Wow. There's more than that. No, we're super stoked, and we're gonna talk about you. I promise. But we got one more news story, and this is the. This could also be a sign of the end of the world. And question to both of you: on your Apocalypse 2020 bingo, did either one of you have zombie minks on your list?
Can't say I did.
No.
Kitsy, did you have zombie minks? Because
no.
According to the USA Today, a dead minx infected with a mutated form of COVID-19 rises from the grave after mass calling.
Of course.
Yes. Reading this word from word here, minks infected with a mutated strain of COVID-19 in Denmark appear to be rising from the dead, igniting a national frenzy and calls from local officials to cremate minks' carcasses. While the site itself is certainly terrifying for the residents of West Jutland, a region of the country grappling with confirmed COVID-19 cases connected to the mink, there is a likely scientific explanation for the zombie-like reemergence from their grave. They're basically saying that they weren't actually dead, but in like a suspended animation state, but I'm going with zombie minks. What's your guys' take on the story?
1,000,000%.
Kitsy, ladies first, what's your take on the story?
I am with you. It's totally the zombie apocalypse. It's 2020. It's December. I mean, why not go out with a bang?
So monoliths and zombie minks, Count Panic.
Well, I was thinking, can these two be connected in some way? Have we ever thought about that? Maybe unconventional, but can they be connected here?
Are the monoliths bringing the Minks back from the dead?
I don't want to speculate.
You know, I got to quote one of my favorite films of all time. You know, when there's no more room in zombie, and no more room in Minks' hell, the zombie Minks will walk the earth. That's from Dawn of the Minks. Oh, if you've ever seen it.
A cult classic.
I missed that one. Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Bobby for sending me the article and Ian Dolinsky for, they both sent me the Minks article. So thank you guys so much for sending that one. And then the monolith story has been sent by a lot of you guys. So thank you guys so much for sending in the articles. If you find a weird story of the week, this could be anywhere paranormal themed or weird advances in science that are almost science fiction or just the bizarre, send them on over. Right now, our email up and running, our current one, is bobafterdarkshow@gmail.com. The Bob at Bob After Dark email is currently being under construction. So maybe it'll be up and running in a couple weeks. You guys can get back to that one. But bobafterdarkshow@gmail, that'd be the way to reach us. Or you could slide right into the DMs on our social media, at bobafterdark on Instagram or facebook.com/bobafterdark. And coming soon, before the end of the year, the official launch of the Bob After Dark website is going to be a thing.
How about that?
Yes, we're
a website.
Yeah, finally, an actual website. I feel like I've been working on that for years. But the Bob After Dark website will be up by the end of the year. Mark my words.
Perfect.
Yep.
If I go to, where does it go now?
Just to the Facebook page. Okay. That's what it's been doing. I bought a domain name for it to literally link back to the Facebook.
That's clever.
Yes. Because everybody...
You know your technology.
I certainly do. Yeah. So we're you guys can check out the website. That's coming very soon. We're working on having you guys a legit forum on there too, where you guys can like post and talk to each other and share
spooky dating site too.
No, you know, we looked into that because we were talking about doing the paranormal speed dating.
Yeah.
Coast to Coast has a lock on it already. Right, they have a paranormal dating app.
Nuts.
Remember we were gonna set you up on it?
That's right. We were, yeah.
Maybe next...
Would that be wise, though? I don't know. There might be something paranormal that inhabits me.
You're a vampire.
That's true, too. I forget sometimes.
Look at your cape.
You're right. That's how I know I'm a vampire, with that cape.
But, folks, thank you so much, guys, for submitting those news articles. Get them back at us. And let's take a quick break.
Sure.
All right, folks. For our live fans that are watching, stick around. And for our podcast listeners, stick around because you're going to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host Nick Floyd every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts. Oddity Files,
the podcast. And we're back.
She's probably wondering what the heck was going on here.
Sorry, we should have prepped you for that one. This is the bit where we both talk about things that we did on break that couldn't have been possibly done. For example, for me, I actually learned how to carve a wooden whistle.
Really?
I've been watching a lot of
Impressive.
Twin Peaks. Like,
where is it at?
I sent it to Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, him and I are real close.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, cool.
Count, what'd you do?
I ate a lot of, and I mean a lot of haunted cheese curds.
Ketsy, what'd you do on break? You got to keep up with the joke.
I had a full seance with the haunted dolls behind me.
Oh, what'd they say?
They don't like you.
Ouch!
I do.
Oh,
I do, but they don't.
Well, it goes both ways, I guess, Bob.
I guess so.
Your hatred for them means they have hatred.
I don't
for you.
Hate them. They just kind of scare me.
Well, they're scared of you
it's
too.
It's what
Bob.
You put out in the universe, man.
Oh, jeez. You know, if every metaphysical teacher tells me that same thing, I should have it as a bumper sticker on my car. It's like, Bob, what you put out there is what you're going to get back. Bob, you're afraid and condone hatred for haunted dolls, they're just gonna come and snatch your eyes out of your head in your sleep.
Well, maybe.
All right, so this episode we're gonna be talking about Kitsy, her career, and something really cool that's coming out very soon that's what we're here to talk about. But let's start from the beginning. Now, For you guys that watch my show and know who I am, I'm a, you know, a pseudo paranormal person for a living. I travel the everywhere investigating, researching, and studying things that go bump in the night and all the stuff. That's why we have the show, right? And I like to make you guys, the fans, completely involved with it. And as you guys know, I have colleagues in the world of the paranormal that do the same thing, some more successful than others. This is the sum. Kitsy runs an extremely great show on Amazon Prime, author, paranormal investigator, paranormal podcaster too, so we're going to, you know, she could talk about that as well. But let's start from the very, very beginning. Kitsy, tell us a little bit about growing up in the region and what that means to you.
The region is everything. I mean, it's family. It's, even though the family's not there anymore, it's family. Growing up in Griffith when it was, you know, Mayberry. And for those kids that don't understand, just Google Andy Griffith and you'll figure out what Mayberry is all about. But, you know, it's home. It's everything. It's friends, it's family. And I miss it. I really do. But the traffic's just so bad up there. So I started heading south and now I'm in Bloomington.
Fair enough.
I had to tell her too, Bob. Griffith now has a paranormal investigation team at the high school, as well as originated from Griffith. They go around the region.
Yeah,
but that's two things now. A paranormal talk show on a local radio station, as well as a paranormal group in Griffith, Indiana. I mean, it's growing, Kitsy. It's growing.
It slowly is. But surely. I'm proud of everybody and upset that wasn't going on while I was up there. But, you know, I can come back. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Of course.
It's literally a hop, skip, and a jump. And post-COVID, please come up. We'd love to have you in person guest on the show sometime, too.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yes, live seance on the show. And
dolls.
Where does the passion of the paranormal begin with you? Everybody's got a secret origins thing. Mine comes from watching Unsolved Mysteries and listening to Coast as a kid. Where does your origin story come from? Where does the grit of enjoying the paranormal start with you?
It's a love-hate relationship with the movie Poltergeist. I grew up terrified of it. I wanted nothing to do with the paranormal as a kid. It all the way up until my 30s, to be perfectly honest. I grew up in that one house on the wrong side of the tracks in Griffith, Indiana, that was the neighborhood haunted house. And I didn't realize it until my friend Eric, who was our paper boy, says, you know, your house is haunted, right? And I'm like, you know, there's some weird stuff, you know, things go missing and mom blames it on the ghost. And she says it'll be back in a couple days. And it always is. And it, you know, I never really saw anything growing up or things like that. It was just something that was blamed on my overactive imagination. If I was scared of things, I'd pull the covers over my head, you know, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But when I was a senior back in 19, blah, 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 I did a Ouija board session with a girlfriend and she was spending the night, you know, high school sleepovers. Michelle Maglish, if you're listening, I know she's still out there. We did a Ouija board session that went great. Mom and dad went to take my baby sister off to play softball. And we went out on the back deck, broad daylight, the thing moved. And I'm like, is that you? And she's like, no, is that you? And it was kind of awesome. And then mom and dad were coming back. So we put it away, put it up in my room, thought nothing about it. Until the next morning, I woke up and I hear in my ear a very loud, very gruff, get out.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it couldn't get more stereotypical than that. Now that I follow the paranormal. So we freaked out. It's like 6 a.m. Everybody's still asleep in the house. And we're like, the rumor was at the time that you can't burn a Ouija board. It's just like it's made of this inflammable material. I don't even know if that was even true or not. I should probably do my research. But we didn't try to burn it. We instead took her little Plymouth Horizon out a few blocks away and tried to run over the planchette. That did not break. I don't know what they made it out of in the 80s, but not. So I ended up just throwing it in the trash in the alley of J Street. And that was it. I kind of put it out of my head for years and years and years. You know, looking back now, weird things have happened, but I don't want to give away, you know, the entire book. And then my dad, another former GHS alum, passed away at a very early age with no goodbyes. It was sudden. And I kind of felt his presence. And I'm like, is that weird? Am I losing my mind? Sometimes I just felt like dad was there looking out for me. So I broke down. I'm like, I'm going to watch one of those shows I'm terrified to watch on whatever cable station they're on. And I started off with the Kling Brothers. Do you remember the Kling Brothers?
I do.
And I'm like, these guys just yell at the ghosts. This is yes. scary.
Yes, they did.
They scream and yell. I'm like, I can do this. So I watched it. And, you know, there's a reason it only got two seasons. But I was hooked. I'm like, okay, these people aren't dying like I've trained my brain to think after watching, you know, Poltergeist and a few scary movies and the Blair Witch. That was terrifying. I don't know what I was thinking watching that. And I realized that they can't really hurt you. And pretty much, I mean, if you're watching the Kling Brothers show, all they can do is light up a K2. So I'm like, okay, this might not be so scary. So I had friends that had a paranormal group and they invited me along to go to a very notoriously haunted location, Black Moon Manor. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's been torn down since.
Okay.
And I walked in the doors and I felt at home. If that makes any sense to you whatsoever.
No, I think I get it. You,
yeah.
As an investigator and as somebody, I think, just in tune with the world of what we do, I think you just kind of find comfort, and which is why I love the title of your book, which we're going to get to a little later. You find comfort in these things.
Yeah. And we ended up, so I got one of those cameras that, you know, you can take video in the dark, and I had, you know, like an eensy beansy bit of video editing experience. And I'm like, well, I'm going to turn this into a YouTube show. So I had my husband go back with me and we recorded, you know, a Zach Bagans style intro outside the house. And we got back and I'm listening to the audio and there's music playing over the audio the entire time I'm talking, like Victorian era music. My mind was, I'm like, this is real. This is super real. So I was hooked.
Wow. And where did you go from there after, you know, you get a little YouTube thing started? What's next? Where did you go from there?
So I decided that night that this group probably wasn't for me when one of the guys yelled up the stairs, come at me, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I've been on those investigations.
Yeah, this isn't my people. So I drank in everything paranormal I could find. And at the time it was a lot of paranormal shows on TV. And I just kind of watched. I'm like, you know, that's not a good idea. I would never do that. Or, oh my gosh, this makes all the sense in the world. And I started following a bunch of those famous paranormal investigators online and getting their tidbits. And I ended up meeting quite a few of them as well from my day job, which is doing photo ops at fan-based conventions. And I kind of made my own decision. And because I was traveling with that job, you know, when I had it, because COVID wasn't a thing then, I was able to go to some great places where the travel's paid for by my job. So one of the first locations I went to on my own as, you know, lead investigator, my husband was, you know, just there for moral support, and I had a friend along as well, was Ferry Plantation in Virginia.
I'm familiar.
Are you?
I am,
that
yeah.
is my, oh.
I've never been, geez. But I'm familiar with the story. It's such a good one.
Oh, I love it so much. Anyway, so we're doing our thing. We got some interesting evidence. I was touched by a ghost. I'm like, oh, this is cool. That wasn't scary. It was just a little tap on the shoulder, like, hey, I'm here, just in case you were wondering. But as we're getting ready to leave, I saw a full-bodied apparition of a little girl. Come to find out, they just found out recently, her name is Rachel. And she was in this doorway, and I saw her cute little head with these ringlet curls down to, you know, mid back length, peek around this corner and smile at me. I'm getting a little teary eyed. And then she just ducked back around. And I thought she went down a hallway. And, you know, I've been watching all these paranormal shows on cable. So I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to chase after her. And I went around that corner and there was no exit. There was no little girl. There was nothing. So I asked the ladies that worked there. It's a museum now. And I said, okay, here's what I saw. And my husband in the background's going, well, you didn't get it on video, so it didn't happen. And I'm telling them about this little girl, and they pull out this scrapbook of drawings people had done and had seen at the time. She was known as the Fairy Plantation Girl, of this exact same little girl I just saw head to toe. And she showed me some photos of reflections in glass of this same little girl. And I'm like, oh, this is really real. And I was hooked, full blown, obsessed, can't get enough of the paranormal ever since.
And then you start a wonderful show on Amazon Prime that I was hoping you could talk a little bit about too.
Absolutely. So I went on for a few years where, you know, I have friends going, oh my gosh, I want to go on a paranormal investigation. So sometimes we'd have groups of like 20 people on these investigations. And another one of my absolute favorite places to investigate is right there in Crown Point, the old Lake County Jail.
That's actually mine and Count's jam too. I would say some of my most concrete evidence has actually come from that building. Yeah. I've had experiences there. Oh my God. Sorry to interrupt, but that's like, if anybody ever asks me where my favorite place to investigate is, I've been to that jail dozens of times, but it never ceases to amaze me how amazing it is.
It's always something.
It's always something. It's always something different. Mm-hmm. Every time I've ever been there, I've seen malevolent there. I've seen like happy things. It's always changed. Always changes.
And Sandy's so great.
Oh, Sandy is so wonderful. Best, one of the best, if not the best curator of a place like that. Because it's not even just a paranormal investigation. It's a historical site. Mm-hmm. And Pete Grice, the guy who runs the Griffith High School Paranormal Group. Northwest Indiana Paranormal. And then he also does the high school. Which, by the way, Kitsy, he chimes into the chat and says, when this is all over, we'd love to have you come up for an investigation with us. It'd be my honor, and yes, I don't even run the group. I just hang out. I'm usually their celebrity guest, and I say celebrity with like the stretchiest arm. It would be great to have you, but
that'd be fun.
Anyway, so Pete was saying once, and it struck out to me about Sandy. It's Sandy could literally get her mail delivered to the jail as much time as she's there spending and renovating and trying to preserve the history of that place, because she is. And you know as well as I do, when you do these investigations, you know, you're lucky to have a caretaker if you get there and there's somebody there that takes care of the place. And then you get there and you don't know how dangerous these places are. You know, I've been on investigations where my foot can go right through a floor, because nobody's taking care of it. But that jail, as safe as it can be, is as safe as it can be to go investigate. But I digress.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, Fur is my guy there. I don't know if you've ever encountered Fur in Dillinger, a cell block, but, you know, he was Capone's right-man assassin. So, of course, you know, he and I are BFFs.
Yeah. I have an enemy there. What was it, Jack, right? Panic, the guy in the...
I think that was the name.
The isolation block. Yeah. Whew. I don't get possessed easy, and that one went right at me. I digress. All right, back to you. Talk about getting up to the show, getting up to your wonderful show.
Absolutely. So we had done these huge investigations, and you know, sometimes it's hard to get legit evidence when you've got, you know, 15 people in the same room. It's like, was that you moving? What's going on over here? So Clayton, he was my co-investigator on Oddity Files. He's like, you know what? What do you say we try an investigation where it's just us? I'm like, but because we were at that time obsessed with Paranormal Lockdown with Nick Groff and Katrina Weidman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? We need a cameraman. So it was Clayton, myself, and my youngest son, Carter. And the first place we went with just the three of us, we got more evidence in one night that I ever thought I could ever get in my whole entire career. And I'm like, we're on to something here. So we submitted it to Amazon and they accept, I mean, we jumped through some hoops, but they accepted us and there we are three seasons later. And it's been a good run. It really has been. I'm so excited about it.
That's great. And if you guys want to get a chance to check that out, it is on Amazon Prime, The Oddity Files. I can't recommend it enough. I consume a lot of paranormal TV. It just kind of comes with the territory. And if anybody's ever been to the house, they know that the Travel Channel is running on in the background 95% of the time. I have that on when I'm working, when I'm researching for the show. Usually I hear Zach's voice of all people. But it's still on, and it's hard, you know, it's hard to filter through all of it because, you know, back in the 90s and the 2000s, there was a huge, you know, it wasn't a lot of paranormal show. We had some, you know, you watched Unsolved Mysteries or you listen to Coast, Scariest Places on Earth, hosted by Linda Blair, Taps guys, you know, you had those people. Now you literally turn on the Travel Channel and there's a new one like every season. And every season, there's always somebody new, and you always want to play catch up with everybody, and you can't. Sometimes it's quality, sometimes it's not. But, and this comes with the Bob Anderson stamp of approval, folks. Oddity Files is legit. Aww. You guys will get quality as well as quantity. You got several seasons to pick through. I recommend it, and I don't recommend a lot when it comes to the shows. So. I have a fanfare question to ask for you before we move on, because we want to talk about the book, and then I have personal questions for you. You were on Coast to Coast recently.
I was. I'm so honored.
Can we talk, please, about your Coast to Coast interview? Because if there is one thing that everybody knows on the show is that I'm a little bit of a Coast to Coast nerd. And it's, you know, that is some origin stories for me. I grew up listening to Art and George. And now my station that I work at for the radio portion of our show actually syndicates Coast to Coast after Bob After Dark ends on Tuesday nights. And that's a really cool thing for me to say. We're going to take the caller here in just a moment, Count. But I want to talk about your Coast to Coast interview because it just makes me so excited. I'm talking to somebody who did this. That makes it by transitive property. I've been on Coast to Coast, which I haven't, but.
5 degrees of separation.
Yes.
You're down to one.
Yes. So what was it like being on there? Because that's like kind of the thing, you know, you make it to Coast, you can legitimately say you've done it. You've made it.
So you're going to hate me. I had heard of Coast to Coast. I had not listened to Coast to Coast until a very good friend of mine who's actually dating Doug Bradley. You may have heard of him. He plays Pinhead.
Maybe I have. Yeah.
She sent me a message on Instagram. She's like, oh my God, I just saw you're going to be on Coast to Coast AM. I'm so excited for you. Make sure you tell him Doug's a fan. So I'm looking into it. I'm like, oh, this is like a really big deal. So I was really nervous, not going to lie. I'm like, so I am not a very serious paranormal investigator. I am snarky and I try to make people laugh.
This is a
big, big deal. So at first I was just like, I mean, he had to cut in because I was rambling so much. And I'm like, I've got 2 hours to fill. Wow. At 3 a.m. my time. So I was a nervous wreck, but he was wonderful.
Yes.
He was great.
We have a caller.
I didn't know they record. So that's all happening in the dead of night.
The thing is, you listen, the aesthetic to Coast to Coast is you get in your car at midnight, you find your local station that plays it. You drive with your windows down and you take your mind there.
I didn't know she had the wake. I thought maybe they pre-taped some of those interviews.
Oh, that's live, bro.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's as live as it gets.
We got the pre-call and she's like, okay, so it'll be midnight Pacific time. I was like, what? I thought this was pre-recorded.
All right, Cal, who do we have?
We got John on the line.
John, you're on the air.
Hey there, Bob and Tony. How you guys doing tonight?
Another Tuesday night. John, thanks for calling in as always. How are you doing?
Hey,
how was your holiday?
How are you?
Doing
good, good. How are you, Kedzie?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, come and get me, bro. Sounds like something we say every day in the region.
Well, not when you're hunting ghosts, though. Well, come at me, bro.
You know, listening to you, would it be wrong to say that the paranormal has approached you more than you go out and investigate the paranormal?
Oh, I know this.
That's some prolific stuff, John.
It's not a trick question, but listening to what you're saying, it sounds like, you know, you had a lot of paranormal experiences without seeking them, if you will, as opposed to, you know, something Bob would do and go out and looking for them. Do you understand what I'm saying, or am I not making sense?
I think it's better to go out and find them and they're not coming to my house. So I prefer to go out and hunt ghosts than having them show up at my house. Am I understanding what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what,
okay.
Well, I get what you're saying. I'm just wondering if my question is making any sense to you.
He's saying, like, sometimes when you're out that it finds you.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Yes.
She's got the vibes.
Yes. I've been told by mediums that they come to me. They feel comfortable with me, and I'm down. I don't mind at all.
You know what? You're quite interesting, and I'm going to hang up and keep on listening to you on Bob After Dark, which I enjoy every Tuesday. So,
thanks, John.
Good luck to you.
Thanks, John.
John is the sweetest. He calls every Tuesday, by the way. It never fails. There are two callers. We have John in the early hour, and then we have this guy, Jack. And Jack will call in probably within the next 20 to 30 minutes. And Jack is the smartest man I've ever met in the paranormal. He literally knows everything. But he'll call in and keep me awake when I'm falling asleep at the desk. Unlike we're like coast to coast light here. We
fall asleep by 9 p.m.
Same. It's a region thing.
Yeah. All right. So you've done a lot of investigations. How many investigations do you think you've been on in your career?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I don't know. A lot. I feel like 50 doesn't sound like very many. But I've only been doing this for like 8 to 10 years.
Only 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. A lot. We'll just go with a lot.
Okay. Let's highlight some of those, and then we're going to talk a little bit about your book. Okay. I want to talk about your investigation days. If I was to ask you, hey, Kitsy, can you tell me about some of the most prolific moments you've had with the paranormal? What would you say are some of the ones that really stand out to you that won't spoil the book?
I'll just give you locations because they're all in the book.
Okay.
Of course, Lake County Sheriff's House and jail. Bobby Mackey's. It was everything I'd hoped it'd be and more. Waverly. I mean, come on. Fairy Plantation, of course. Fear Factory in Salt Lake. All of them, they all have this special place in my heart, and they've all kind of taught me something. Like Culbertson Mansion, I go into that entire investigation in my book, and I learned so much. And there's the Opera House in Mitchell where the ghosts were investigating us. I mean, I've learned how to investigate from the ghosts more than I have from any research I've done on the internet or any paranormal TV show I've ever seen.
That's wonderful. That's some good dialogue, Kitsy. What is probably, I'm going to make you spoil the book a little bit, just one moment.
Okay.
If you can say there's one prolific moment that will stand out to you, minus the plantation in Virginia and you're with the little girl there, what is the most prolific moment in your paranormal career that will stand out to you? Like, and you will just always go back to that and just kind of make sense. And the reason why I ask this, folks, is because every investigator had their moment. Every investigator had their, like, their finally moment of catching Moby Dick when they put everything together and they realize what they're doing makes sense. Because Kitsy can agree, Count Panic can agree, in investigation work, especially what we're doing, it is a pseudoscience. And people can really think you're a nutcase doing what we do. And you can really down on yourself about what you do, because there's times, you know, you can be like, why am I doing this? Or, you know, you're at an investigation. You could be standing out in the woods at 3 o'clock in the morning and it could be hours with nothing. But we all have that moment where everything just kind of clicks. And I could tell you mine recently, and I'll share my story. You're first. You're the important one here. You're the guest. What's that moment?
No, I want to hear yours.
Really? Okay, I'll share mine. So this one's probably my most recent investigation when it all came together for me. My most recent investigation was last month, or month, and about a month ago. We'll say a month ago. So about a month ago, Count Panic and I took the Northwest Indiana Paranormal troop to the old WJOB studios down in Hammond, down the road a little bit. And the story goes that every person I've talked to that works in the station, and people who have come up to me that have worked in the station at one point when they catch me at a local thing, they say, oh, you know, have you ever seen the shadows at WJOB? And I'm like, no, there ain't no shadows here. This place is as calm as can be. They were like, no, the old studio. And I talked to people that work there, and they've all told me. So backtracking just a pinch, we had to do a show at the old studio when the studio was being renovated. And this was 2 Marches ago, so 2 years ago. Halfway through the show, I was with my old co-host, Steve. By the way, good luck tonight, Steve. He's doing a pay-per-view wrestling match. We're at the old studio, and I look over at Steve, and we're talking, and his mouth just kind of drops open. And it looks like he, no pun intended, saw a ghost. And I'm like, what? And he just... You know, like, I can't get him to calm down because we're live. You know, you can't take a break during live like that. And he says, whatever, he moves on. You know, after the show cuts down, he looks at me and says, bro, halfway through the show, I saw a shadow walk down the hallway, stop right in front of the booth we're in doing the show, kind of peek in, and then left and kept walking down. Since that happened, I've always wanted to go back in there with some equipment just to see what we'd get. That night, in the hour that we were there, so that when you're up here, we're going to bring you up to the studio, because in the hour that I was there, I had more activity and more concrete proof than I've had at 100 of the investigations I've done in my career, if not more. In the hour that we were there, not only did we have... legit figures on our SLS cameras. We were catching words on EVPs we were doing. I did a sensory deprivation exercise where, you know, I'm goggled out and soundproof headphones, and I'm having a conversation with static playing in my ears with somebody that's talking to me. Pete was leading that, call it seance, I guess. And I was talking in one of the former DJs' tones. I wouldn't know that because rest of soul preacher was on long before I was around, and I was saying words that would come across like he would say, like hello sports fans, etc. And during that moment, we're in the studio with this giant steel door, right? And it's a soundproofing door. It's meant to be thick, it's meant to be heavy, because you have it. I'm getting goosebumps and shooken up just talking about it. There's no way you're moving this door without some oomph to it. I'm not saying it's too heavy for somebody to push, but you have to put some force into this door. Halfway through the EVP session, I don't know what's going on. When I come back out, everybody in the area across from me, we're all freaked out. And I said, what happened? Apparently, this giant steel door that's not going to move by a breeze physically creaked shut during our sensory deprivation. Later that night, I separated from the group. They were getting some B-roll. Count was shooting something for his side project. And I just went off on my own and I had an obelisk. If you guys don't know what an obelisk is, it's a device that'll pop up words. There's like pre-recorded words in this box. And, you know, if one pops up, it's supposed to be a spirit trying to talk to you. I don't necessarily buy into those things as much. Spirit boxes at me, just, I don't know. But, kid you not, and this is all respect to every person that's listening to WJOB now. I have nothing but respect for them, so please, just keep them this in mind. Preacher's office at WJOB is preserved, and it's a nice tribute to him. I walk by his closed door, and I kid you not, Count could attest for it, because I screamed. On the obelisk, the second I approach his door and I said, hey, I just wanted to thank you for everything you've done and leading the way into what I do with broadcasting and my radio show. I just said, I don't know if you're here, but I just want to thank you. I kid you not, instantly after I got done saying it, the word preacher pops up on the obelisk.
No.
I'm not lying.
No
way. We got it. We got it on video.
I'll email you the video, Kitsy, because a lot of people say, that watched that video, they're like, oh, come on, you put that, somebody creaked that door closed, you put that thing, the preacher's words there. No, that was all real.
That was all real, it popped up.
Lucky enough, we got it on film, so I'll send you that, I'll email you that.
Yeah, no.
And by no way, I mean it in the best way possible, like, oh my gosh, what an awesome time for you.
No,
that's, not that I don't
believe you. No, but people do question the authenticity. I gotta explain it, this really happened here.
Like, I can't, guys, listen, in investigations, I'm gonna give it to you straight. I have no reason to make things more interesting than what they are, because my show isn't about investigations. It's an aspect of it, but it's not entirely everything. You know what I mean? I share facts with you guys. I tell stories with you guys. I talk about cryptids and monsters and demons and stuff. So I have the fantastical aspect of my show already done. I don't need to spice that up. I kid you not. I've had evidence happen at investigations. I've seen things I can't explain. I've had moments. But that moment that happened, and it said, preacher, you're welcome, after I said the thank you. And
I'm gonna cry.
I screamed. Oh my. The video's up. You guys can go and see the video. But I saw it and it popped up there. And, the you're welcome part happened after I walked away, because everybody comes over, they rushed, they're getting video footage. Mike, our camera guy, bless his heart, runs over. He's like, dude, I don't know. What is this? And
yeah, the thing is, we have one camera to split the whole building. So he was doing a lot
of
running around.
He was running around.
Yeah.
And it was rough because, Kitsy, because I could tell right away the force is strong with you, right? You have people in the world that are more in tune with what's going on around them than others. And these things happen to me when I'm on investigations. I think that's why Pete wants me around as much as he does, is because they just happen. Earlier that night on the SLS camera, everybody walked away. I was by myself in the hallway, and it was me and Mike, the camera guy, behind. And I just happened to look up at the SLS camera as I was doing something. Down the hall, there was a figure there wrapping up cord, like a microphone cord. And I was like... So in the hour that I was in the studio for, I don't want to say a joke of an investigation, but, I've done huge investigations in, big, amazing places. In this tiny building that has so much history, I discovered the best evidence I ever had. That was my coming to my, I don't know what you call it, but that's my coming of age story. I don't like to share. I don't share this stuff on the. I have a guest, Kitsy. I got to talk about you here.
No, but I love that story, and nothing was scary, right?
No, I don't get beautiful. Scared on investigations.
Sometimes I do a little bit.
Panic! I love them to death. Panic is my scaredy yule cat. No pun intended.
You never know.
Everybody needs.
You
panic.
Never know when something messy
is
going to happen.
I love Panic. He's the best person. When I take Panic in investigations and something bad happens, I always have I'm gonna bless us after we're done. I sage, Palo Santo. I have all the stuff that's ready to go. I can take care of us in an emergency, and I always bless Panic at the end. And I'm like, do you want me to give you a little extra touch of smoke there, pal?
Bring out the holy water.
But so that's my, but no, I didn't get scared. It was just a moment. And I knew, if he, I don't want him hanging out there. I don't want him to be there full time. But for the moment that if I spoke to him, if that was him, it was a blessing. It was an amazing moment. And that's when everything kind of came to terms with me. And I realized what I was doing made sense.
I like doing this, but there's a moment that you just come to terms with that. And I'm curious where what your come to terms moment is in your investigation life.
So I feel like I've had them in stages through this entire journey, if you will.
Sure.
But the most recent, the most, so I have this thing. I don't think demons are hanging out in basements of honky tonks. And I don't think they're just hanging out in everybody's neighborhood. I believe if they're demons, they've got much bigger fish to fry. You know, maybe it's the White House, maybe it's the Kremlin, who knows? But I don't think they're hanging out specifically in a silo in Salt Lake City, Utah, which a paranormal investigative show said that they were summoned there and that, you know, terrible, terrible things happened in this silo. It's Fear Factory. It's a haunted attraction. It's very rarely investigated by paranormal teams, especially in February when it's 20 degrees outside. But that's when Oddity Files decided to head out there. And we're wrapped up in our parkas. And we had a nice little investigation in this little, you know, underground maze thing that was kind of warm, kind of not. But the demon silo was, you know, why I was there, because that's my thing, is to prove that demons aren't everywhere. So I'm nervous. I do get a little nervous, like this and Bobby Mackey's. I was like, you know what? What if I'm wrong?
Oh, I'd be as nervous as could be if I went to. I'm not going to lie to you. That place would make me nervous. I want to see it. I've never been, but that place would make me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was my precursor to Bobby Mackey's. And we walked into the silo and we all just kind of felt a little off, but it's this round metal building right off of a highway. So the sounds of the highway is just kind of swirling around in there, and it's going to make you feel a little dizzy. But other than that, nothing. So we're doing our thing. We're talking. We get a little SLS action. I don't bring out the Ovilus anymore because it doesn't work. I think I broke ours at one point. And my jam is the spirit box, though. I have full-on conversations with spirits via the spirit box and my odd box, which the odd box is like an amplifier speaker with some reverbs for some creepy vibes. It's got some lights on it, some crystals and some copper. I'm like the hippie chick paranormal investigator. And I'm like, okay, guys, tell me your story. I'm here to tell your story. We're not here to hurt you, harm you, take you away. We're just here to learn about you. And the spirit box goes, here it goes. And I go, I hear what goes, and it goes devil, demon, devil, demon. I'm like, okay, don't even try that with me. I am not buying it for a second. I want to know who you are. So we found out that there's five or six spirits there. So it was an old concrete building that was abandoned for years and years and years. So homeless people had lived there, and there was a train track out front where actually sadly several people have taken their own lives on this train track. But there's five or six in the quote unquote demon silo at Fear Factory. But the head of it is Linda. She's a lovely, lovely person. She told me that they act like demons because they think that's what people want when they come there. And the most, it's still every time I say it, and I've been saying it a lot because I've been doing a lot of interviews for this book. But when she said to me, no spaces, no nothing, all in the same voice, we are just people. I was like, I am doing the right thing. I am here to tell your story. I am here to prove that this isn't as scary as people think it is, that these people have stories to tell. So it was demon, and in air quotes, demon Linda in the silo at Fear Factory that just, it kind of cinched it all and said, you know what? You're doing the right thing. Keep doing what you're doing.
That's, man, I got goosebumps here. That's a good story.
It was beautiful. It was, I cried. I did. I was just like, oh my God.
That's a good moment. I like that moment. Count, what's yours?
You know, at the Mars Cheese Castle, Wisconsin. There's some haunted cheese curds, Bob. So.
Is that by the nudie magazine place?
That is kind
near
of
there,
it's
yes.
Near, yeah.
That place is not. I investigated that place as well. It's not haunted. So.
No. I beg to differ, sir. I bet those ladies will talk to me.
Well, you know what? We're going to bring Kitsy up to a Wisconsin trip, Count, and we'll drop by. We've done the we actually had one of my favorite moments in investigations. This is a cool one. We were at a convention up in Wisconsin. We were talking at the Milwaukee Comic Con, or Wisconsin Comic Con it was called, and we were one of the guests. And we had nothing to do. It was hours before our panel, and the convention, you know, you walk a convention floor, you've seen it, you're done with it, right?
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, exactly. One of our, we had Kale Starr from KS Paranormal, dear friend of mine, Witch Mom, 1000%, love the woman. Her and her husband were there, and they were taking a break from the convention, so they took us on a car ride, and they showed us, like, the Dahmer tour, what they would do with, like, their serial killer tours, because that's where Dahmer hung out.
Her face lit up when you said that, Bob.
Yeah, no. So, listen. Imagine taking a tour of, like, the most Wisconsin woman you'll ever meet. She has the accent. She has the mannerisms.
Oh, yeah.
Total paranormal investigator. And just imagine her, like, driving and her just pointing out, oh, he'd pick up guys from here. Oh, don't you know, going on and on. Oh, yeah. And then she's just like, oh, yeah, he probably ate that guy's face over there. We're gonna take you up to Milwaukee. We're gonna do the Dahmer tour. And I want you to have that experience with us, because Wisconsin, I don't know what it is. We're just big in Wisconsin.
Magical.
I guess. I don't know.
My grandparents lived in Burlington, Wisconsin forever and ever and ever. Used to spend my summers up there. Wisconsin's where it's at.
You know, there's Burlington is one of the most haunted locations in the Midwest. They have a giant vortex there. They have apparently one of the biggest vortexes in North America is in Burlington, Wisconsin. Apparently there is a
stuff up.
I'm not lying to you. Fact checking. I'm not lying to you. Then there's one of our fans, Jacob Foreman, lives over there. That's he brings the weird.
Yeah.
And then we, there's apparently a hive of dog men that live there. It's just the whole, it's the whole escalation of things there. So
it's where I saw my first Star Wars movie in the theater. So it's got to be a good place.
Digress. Wisconsin, we miss you. As soon as the world's back to normal, we were going to be talking Anime Milwaukee this year, but I don't think there's going to be an Anime Milwaukee. But I promise the first convention we get booked at, I'll be back. I promise you.
With cheese curds in hand.
And cheese curds in hand. And Jacob, if you're listening to this, I need more curds. So please.
Spotted cow.
Spotted. Oh, my God. Have you ever had Spotted Cow, Kitsy? This side
no.
note. Are you
what
a beer person? Are you a beer person?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
You got to start drinking.
I drink wine and bourbon.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Yeah. So I want to talk about your book, and that's the next step. I promise we're going to get to that next, because I'm going to ask you some questions that I want to hear your opinion on, and I want to know, like, what you want versus, like, what you've done. So dig deep. Top five places, dream investigation spots.
And go. The White House would be number one. Alcatraz would be number two. Three, Winchester in San Jose. Number four, it's a tough one. The Museums of Science and Industry in Chicago. And number five, I don't know that I have a five. I just want to investigate all the places that are haunted. Somewhere in Chicago. Tell me somewhere good in Chicago I need to investigate.
Congress Theater? The Brookfield Zoo? I don't know.
Brookfield Zoo is haunted?
Yes, there's lots of good stories. Is this Jack?
It's Jack.
I knew. Listen, I just want to. I want to say real quick how good I am at being in tune with my audience and knowing who's calling when. I knew John called and I knew Jack was calling. I knew it. I just, bam. Psychic Research 101, everybody. Dear friend of mine, paranormal investigator and researcher, Jack Chavez. Hello, Jack.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here. Hi, Kitsy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So I have a comment and a question real quick.
Let's start with
my comment is I investigated the Burlington Woods, and it was really interesting because what I did, because allegedly there are the fairy beings that inhabit those woods. So upon entering, what I did is I left an offering near the front. I left a sandwich. I specifically made the sandwich for them.
What was on the sandwich?
When I got there, I took it out of the bag.
Yeah, what kind of sandwich do fairies like?
That's exactly, Jack, where are we at here? This is the important questions. You don't just leave it like that.
I mean, is it peanut butter and jelly, or is it bratwurst?
No. I put both turkey and bologna.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Did you retract
nice.
Count panic first
that's
before you got
fine
to the fairies?
Sandwich right there.
And it was wheat bread.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
So I put it near the entrance, and then we went to investigate. Not too much happened. The people I was with heard some interesting sounds. Of course, we got lost because it was at night. So when we were leaving, we passed by the sandwich, and it looks like there was a good-sized bite to the sandwich. And what's really interesting that, you know, obviously you would think it was some sort of, you know, a rodent, maybe a squirrel or something. But this was not only was this a large bite, but the sandwich didn't look disturbed as it would if, you know, it was an animal. No, of course it could have been an animal. I don't know, but it was just a really interesting, you know, thing to see.
Did you did you smell cheese curds nearby? Because I think you might have attracted Count Panic. You weren't attracting Faye, you were attracting Count Panic.
I like the bologna turkey combo. I never had that before. I
why you lying, Count? Why you lying? You know you follow.
I have turkey, I have bologna, but never together.
You clearly ate some of that sandwich.
Bologna and ham.
Panic, that's not true because you're a vampire. You can't eat things.
I can't have that. Oh, man.
I have a question for Jack.
Yes.
How do you investigate the Fae? I mean, is it just like a paranormal investigation where you try to get it on camera? I'm so curious now. Well, I've got the sandwich part down.
So, like Bob said, the Burlington Woods is known as a vortex. So there's all sorts of other phenomena taking place there. Ghosts, Bigfoot sightings, the sounds of Native American chants and drums. So I was really there to try to record any paranormal sounds, any chants. I was doing some EVPs over there. So that's what I was really trying to capture. And then taking several photos to see if anything came up, which we did get some interesting photos. There was weird lights that shouldn't have been there, but nothing definitive. So... Okay. We didn't really see too much, like I said.
Okay, so you are in Burlington.
No, I'm in Chicago.
Okay, but you've been to Burlington. Okay.
Correct.
Because I'm like, where are the Burlington Woods? I was just a kid. Grandma and Grandpa lived on, don't laugh, it was really the name of the lake. They've changed it now, but it was Boner's Lake.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
No one laughed. You laughed, Kitsy. No one laughed. You're the one that laughed.
Because I grew up with the Boner's Lake.
Now I'm laughing at that.
Did they change it because of that?
Yeah, I think they did. They finally caught on that the kids are snickering.
I'm not, guys, I promise. Professionalism is my top priority being the host of this show.
It's a classy show.
It is. It's family friendly. Oh, I'm only class, laughing. Yeah. I'm only laughing at Kitsy's response. I'm not laughing at the word. I'm laughing at her response.
I am.
Oh, but yeah, is it around there or is it more like by the river?
You know, I don't know where it is with how close it is to Boner's Lake, but yeah. I do have a question real quick though. So you know, I've listened to I watched your show and listened to your a lot of your stuff. So I'm curious, if you weren't investigating ghosts, what other aspect of the paranormal would you really delve into?
Man, you're stealing my questions, Jack.
Oh, you guys planned this out.
Jack, I take them notes off, but it's fine. I guess we could ask that now, Jack After Dark.
I'd want to find Bigfoot.
Yeah.
If it weren't ghosts, it'd be Bigfoot.
Then I suggest investigating around Starved Rock as well as around Burlington Woods.
Okay.
Jack, I got you on the phone. I can't let you go yet because this nice lady here wants to hear the zoo stories, and I think you tell it better than I do.
Ooh. Yeah, so I'm not familiar with Brookfield.
I meant to say Lincoln Park. You know how I am. Just go with it.
I know. Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park.
Yeah, the Lincoln Park Zoo is really interesting because it's built on Chicago's original city cemetery, which was, composed of most of the Lincoln Park neighborhood in Chicago. There was actually four cemeteries that kind of conjoined. It was the city cemetery, the Potter's Field, where they would bury the homeless and Confederate soldiers from the prison war that was in the South Side, the Jewish cemetery, and then the Catholic cemetery. So there was four cemeteries together, and that's what the Lincoln Park Zoo.
Yeah, I'm screwing you up now. Welcome to the Bob Curse. Easter Island Massacre. Remember that nonsense?
You see what you're doing to me?
Yeah, I see what I'm doing. You get nervous and you say words. Jeez, thanks, Jack. Anyway, go on.
In the lion's house, in the woman's bathroom, people have said that they see a woman looking at them when they, look up from washing their hands, that there's a woman behind them and then disappears. And then also security guards and janitors who have been in there will hear voices telling them to leave. There is a double mirror in the woman's bathroom, and so it is believed by some researchers that it acts as a portal because it's one of those, I don't know what you call them, those eternity mirrors where it just keeps going and going.
So there's one on the other side. I thought you meant that so people could watch ladies
so
in the rest.
Listen, I was being the professional one here, folks. Remember, Bob After Dark is about the professionalism. I thought it. Don't get me wrong.
I think she's back in that bookstore.
Panic.
I was like, I wanted to go and investigate, but somebody's going to be peeping on me the entire time now.
No.
Man.
Is Jack still there?
Yeah.
Jack, you see what happens? Jack calls, get derailed, don't even get to talk, ask him my questions for me. No, it's Jack, he knows. He was a guest on here a couple weeks ago, actually. We talked about rakes and not the gardening equipment.
Oh, rakes are my jam, too.
Talking about crawlers.
Oh, the rake falls in the category, Jack. I was trying to make it easy.
The rake is a fictional version.
Can we? I'm simplifying what we were talking about.
I know, but
okay, ladies' restroom, Lincoln Park Zoo.
That's the main paranormal phenomenon that takes place is in the woman's bathroom, and the surrounding the zoo are several ghost stories. I've helped out in the Lincoln Park ghost tour, and so we take them around. The zoo. We can't go in the zoo anymore, but we do go around the zoo. There's a couch mausoleum, which is the last standing memorial for the old city cemetery. That's the last crypt that's still around, and it's the urban legend that if you walk around it 9 times on a full moon, the door of the mausoleum will open and a white ghost will come out. And there's a couple other stories around that.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I've tried it. I've been there. Because you're supposed to be there at midnight. I've done it. Nothing happens. But it was fun. Wow.
Good job, Jack. Crushing the dreams of... Yeah, crushing the dreams. Jack is the debunker. He's all about...
I'm not a debunker.
Oh, you enjoy it. Don't lie to me. Quit. Who are you lying to?
I will say that a lot of people that come on the tour, they get a lot of interesting photos around that mausoleum. A lot of white mists smoke when there isn't smoke around, odd lights. So, and that's right by the zoo.
Huh.
Nice.
Well, thanks for sharing that story, Jack. Yeah. I really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for talking to you, Kitsy.
It was so nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Jack is brilliant. Jack of all trades, no pun intended. Kitsy, by the way, I have an answer for you. One of our fans from Wisconsin just chimed in and said the woods of Burlington, the Burlington Woods, is off of Honey Creek Road.
That sounds familiar. It's been an eon since I've been there.
And Bray Road is only 16 minutes away from the Burlington Woods from said fan as well.
What? How did I not know this?
There you go.
Kitsy, have you ever been to Bray Road? Just side note, side quest here.
You know, I may have. If it's that close to Burlington, I may have.
Oh, man. I've done the Bray Road drive up twice. And the first time I was so giddy, I kind of jumped out of the car and like posed in front of the sign. I was not wearing the proper Bob After Dark attire. I was in a Hawaiian shirt and like khaki shorts,
yes.
Which, you know, these days we call it Bob After Dark summer attire. But back then we did not. I was so excited. I was like, I'm getting out of the car. So I pulled over and, you know, I was with an investigator, Dr. Ben Vanderson, and he was like, hey, man, I used to, like, hang out around here. Cops don't like this. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. I'm just going to get a picture. He's like, these farmers, they shoot at people, you know? I'm like, no, it's going to be great. And he's like, oh, okay. So we literally pull over to the side of the road so I can get pictures in front of the sign. Bray Road is in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. Literally, if you didn't hear werewolf sightings there, there would be no reason to know where Bray Road's at. But in this case, I did. And I jumped out and took a picture. It was great. 1,000%. Don't investigate there because you'll die. But we'll go. We're going to take you to Wisconsin, Kitsy. We're going to have a good time.
Sweet. I'm going to hold you to that.
I probably. Listen, I'm not. I'll get in touch with Kale. I'll be like, hey, I need you to do the Dahmer tour in your best Wisconsin voice. We'll stop and get some curds. I know you don't drink the, you're not into the beer thing, so we'll skip the Spotted Cow. Well, I don't know. What's the.
There's probably wine in Wisconsin.
There's all the wineries up there.
Are you kidding me? That Wisconsin is, I'm sure they have distilleries, breweries.
Yeah.
Yes. They also have the Haunted Brewery, New Salem, they have the Beast of Bray Road beer. I had a blast drinking that.
It's haunted? You had me at haunted, and then you threw the beast in. Now you're just teasing me.
No, I'm not. It's called New Salem Brewing, and it's in somewhere in Wisconsin. And it's not too far away from the Bray Road thing, and they have, like, the Beast of Bray Road beer, and it's, oh my God. I nice. Bought a pint glass. I bought their artwork. I dropped a lot of money that day, but it was a really cool experience. Vix chimes in and says it's 5 minutes away from the Walworth County Fairgrounds, which I've been to as well. Anyway, so Kitsy, you were giving me your top five places you'd like to investigate, and you gave me White House, which I would say is probably one of the most haunted places in America. But we have no investigative way of proving that. It's just a lot of stories. What were your other ones?
Alcatraz.
Okay.
The Winchester Museum. The lady who had the stairs to nowhere. God, what else did I say? I may have drank a whole glass of wine during this.
We gotta watch
interview.
The clip back.
Are you enjoying? Are you having that much fun? Kick it back with some wine, Kitsy.
I am. I'm having a grand old time.
You know, most of my guests don't admit that they had been driven drinking, talking to me. So you're a
fool. Oh, no.
I'm joking.
It's a good thing.
You know, I hope I can be
it
a guest
I
on
feel at home.
I hope I could be a guest on your podcast now. That's what I'm getting at.
Absolutely.
Oh,
that would be
drink,
a blast.
So I could drink on your show.
He can't drink right now.
I can't. This is virgin water, dry. I am not a Bon Kitsy show. I'll enjoy a beer.
Studio.
Most of my panels, my convention people know I'll drink a beer with them if I see them, and it helps loosen me up. So I'll give you the stories. I'm very behaved. I don't like to drink to get drunk, but I do like to loosen up a little bit sometimes.
Same.
No drinking before an investigation, by the way, folks, to all my Ghoul Scouts. Remember that rule. It's very important. but I digress.
You're Ghoul Scouts.
That's what I call my little paranormal investigators that want to do what we do. I call them Ghoul Scouts. I'm glad you enjoyed my terminology. All right, so Alcatraz, and then what were your other ones?
The Winchester Mystery House.
Yes.
Do we have a rewind button?
We'll leave it at top three.
Top three. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you keeping track of the show here.
Good call, because I was struggling.
It's fine.
You're top 10.
The have you ever been to those locations outside of investigation? Like, I've been there on a tour or just seen it? Yes. Okay.
Well, not the White House, but Alcatraz and Winchester. They're legit haunted, both of them.
Okay.
You just walk in and you know.
Yes. The Winchester House is on my list. I think that's probably one of the most haunted spots, too. I've seen lots about it. I've never done the tours. I've never seen it in person. When I was in San Francisco, I was going to go, but it was a horrible experience. That's a story for another time. And, I didn't get a chance to go, but that's on my list of things I would like to see in person. And I think the White House is a good one, too. I think we should petition our congressman to let us go there and investigate the White House.
Oh, heck yeah. Let's have everybody sign a petition for me and you to go investigate the White House and talk to Abraham Lincoln. That's my goal.
Okay. I'll listen. Yes. And you know what? All eyes would be on us. There's never been an investigator at the White House that can do what we do. So I that would be great. We're going to petition the congressman to let's do this. Mm-hmm. Now, Kitsy, we got a little bit left in the show. And the big reason why we got you on the show and how we got you as a guest is because you want to talk about this book that you got. And I want to hear about this book. I want to own a copy of this book. And not only do I want to own a copy, I want you to autograph it to me. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. So let's talk about this book you have coming. It's not out now, right?
It is out.
Okay, my notes.
It had a sneak release.
Okay, yes. Yeah. My notes said that, and then my phone turned off as I was saying that. So it is out now.
Yes. And it's called I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. It's on Amazon. It's in Kindle format and Kindle Unlimited. And it's also at Barnes & Noble online. I can't imagine it's in the stores. I mean, who am I? But yeah, it's been a super fun run. I don't know if you've heard of Dave Schrader speaking up north of Wisconsin. He's from Minnesota. And he had sent me a text and said, "Have you ever thought of writing a book?" And I'm like, "Well, maybe. Why?" And he's like, "Well, I think you should write a book." And he got me in touch with Beyond the Fray Publishing, which has been absolutely amazing throughout this whole thing. And they're like, "Well, do you think you can write?" And I'm like, I have a podcast I write stories for every week. Sure, I can write. And then after they went in and fixed all of my mistakes, here it is. And it's my journey. It's a lot of what we've already covered, you know, how I got into the paranormal, what were my most profound moments in investigating. And then I cover in great detail two specific locations where I had spirits follow me home, and they actually still live with me, and we live happily ever after here.
Sometimes we refer to it as the zoo. Spirits come and they hang out at what I call the zoo, because there's sometimes more than one just hanging around, but I digress. My favorite house spirit, Uncle Bill, he's the one that hangs out, but others come and go sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Check in, don't check
it's
out.
It's just part of what we do.
Part of what we do. Yeah, you ain't kidding. But so this book, what, you know, you didn't go into this thinking you were going to write a book. It was just basically, I had somebody tell me to do this and I did it. And what would you say was your biggest challenge, like, doing this? Because I'm working on a book myself. What was your big challenge? This is me just asking for advice. What was things going into it that you didn't realize you were going to be doing, that you were doing? Like, did you have fun revisiting these things you've done? Did you find that a challenge? Tell us a little bit about the journey of writing this book.
So fortunately, every investigation I've been on, I've videotaped. So the memory is what was failing me at this age. You know, I'm Alzheimer's years old, and
32,
so
right?
I have to, Oh, I wished, but thank you. but you know, I'd have to pull up hidden stuff on YouTube and go, now what exactly was said? You know, I know the gist of, and the really important parts of all these investigations that stuck with me, but you know, after you do so many, you're like, okay, and then what happened? So that was the hard part for me. You know, when they said, what do you want to write about? I'm like, well, I know too specific. It was where Anna came from, who was the first spirit who followed me home. She really likes when I talk about her on these interviews. And then Abby came to me from Bobby Mackey. So those are the two in-depth investigations where they taught me how to investigate, especially Anna. She taught me ways to investigate that I didn't even know existed. And then Abby, I mean, she confessed murder to me. So, and I think she's scared of what's beyond this for her now. And that's okay. I mean, I get it. She murdered a man who raped her. So you go, girl. Number one. Number two, I get that she's scared. I didn't even know she had followed me home until I went on another investigation at Fairy Plantation. And the spirits are like, something's off. And I could feel it from them as well. They were really iffy about how they were answering questions and things like that. And they told us that somebody was there that who shouldn't have been there. And we found out it was Abby. So
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm looking
they teach
forward.
Me a lot.
You know what? And you do, you have to understand that these things are people, you know, at the end of the day, some are more angrier than others. Some are violently angrier than others, but some just want to hang out and talk or let their presence be known. And you can learn a lot. I catch myself asking Uncle Bill, it wasn't my uncle, but I call him Uncle Bill. I catch myself when I'm like working in my office. I catch myself being like, hey, Uncle Bill, what do you think I should do? Or what do you think? Because Uncle Bill was a performer, right? And half of what I do is performance. I understand there's a research element, but I have to present it in a way that's entertaining. And I always ask, and you learn things. You pick up on that they're there, and they'll teach you things. And, you know, I 1,000% agree with you on that. And yeah. It's really cool that that's your takeaway from investigations. I love that you take away the lessons that you can learn. Because I think even me, as a seasoned investigator and pseudo-living person that does this, I think I take it for granted sometimes that I get lessons from these, you know, these people, yeah. this essence of what we are going to be. And I can't thank you enough for that, because tonight I think I had me in a little epiphany of what I do, and it's pretty cool. So thank you for that.
Of course. And you know what they teach us? Life is short. So we need to love a little harder. We need to be a little kinder. And you know, that old adage, a kinder and gentler human beings is what we need to be. And, you know, I think everybody needs a little bit of that right now.
That's good. You know, you're getting ahead of yourself, because I make my guests always end with something prolific to say, and you already did it.
You
so
top
you're
that?
Gonna have to top that.
Sorry.
When we end here.
Oh.
Okay. So Jack kind of touched base on this, real quick, because I could sit here with you for hours, by the way. I'm thoroughly enjoying this interview, but unfortunately I have to edit at some point. So we're going to be cutting this short at some point. But Jack asked this question, and it was, if you're not investigating ghosts, what would you like to do? Now, it would mean investigations. I also do cryptozoology. That's like my bread and butter. It's so much fun. I like to study that stuff. It's like monsters. It's cool. What is it? I heard you say Bigfooting, so maybe I can make you touch on that a little bit. What is like the thing you would like to study in the paranormal if you weren't just doing ghost stuff? Like, do you believe in cryptozoology and things like that? Yeah.
Yeah? Absolutely.
What's
absolutely.
Your favorite cryptid?
Bigfoot.
Okay.
He's the social distancer from way back, and he hates people as much as I do. The people that are alive. That's why I'd rather talk to dead people.
So you buy into it, which is good. We talk about Bigfoot on here sometimes. That's Count's mom's favorite cryptid.
Yeah, it is my mom's favorite.
We talk about Bigfoot a lot on here, but
how can you not? He's a snuggly little big teddy bear.
Little.
Who just really needs a hug from the right person that doesn't scare him. I live in the Morgan Monroe County Forest in southern Indiana. Well, south central Indiana. I don't want to say southern, where there's more Bigfoot sightings out here than anywhere else in the state. I thought for the longest time it was my son, because he's a hairy dude until he moved out, but they're still seeing him out here. So it wasn't Zach.
Fair enough. Might be me. I hang out down there on the occasion. I try, you know, I'm never really down there, but sometimes I do. It might be me. So minus Bigfooting, like, would you be studying the cryptozoology thing if you weren't doing ghosts primarily? Or what stands out to you in the paranormal that really fascinates you that's not just your typical ghost story?
You know, anything but aliens. Aliens scare me to death. Close Encounters of the Third Kind did me in. So, and it's a lot of science, and I'm not a science kind of girl.
Sure.
But, you know, I do love cryptids. And on my podcast, which is called Oddity Files as well, every week, my co-host and I, we tell a different story about something creepy, cryptid, or otherworldly. And usually if I'm not talking about hauntings, which is 9 times out of 10, I go for the cryptids. I think they're fascinating. And more often than not, the fascinating thing about it is the people that see the cryptids, to be perfectly honest. Dover Demon is my jam.
Yes.
I think he was just a baby rake. He was seen for 24 hours and that's it. I think it was before his teeth grew. Look at him. Look at pictures of him. He's a baby rake.
I've never heard somebody refer to him as the baby rake. Graphic artists that do the Bob After Dark thing, make sure you guys get that bumper sticker going so we can get that circulating so I can make some revenue here. that's great. I really dig the, that's wonderful. I really dig on that. I appreciate another cryptozoologist. I that's my thing. And it's funny you say the aliens isn't your big topic. That's not mine either. It's fascinating, but I am not a UFOologist. I have colleagues in the world that are into that stuff, and I can refer to them for things, but I'm not that guy. And it's, I think we're a kindred spirit here, Kitsy, and I
think so, too. It must be a region thing.
You know what? It has to be. It has to be. I grew up in Whiting, right? And I was at the core central of the bad air quality. So you got it in Griffith, though. You guys had some plants out there and stuff. So maybe it's just the air.
I have asthma. Thanks, Region.
Thanks, Region. look, I'm not too far behind you there. So yes, thanks, Region. Maybe it's the air we breathe.
It was the steel mills. We
if
know.
If you want us to do the audio book in the Region accent, we could do that as well. So.
Yeah, listen, the audio book version of I'd Rather Talk to Dead People
needs that
to be read by me in panic.
Yeah.
Straight Region.
Oh, duh.
We were over there by the thing and the stuff.
Oh, you know, we got to see the ghost. We saw it. Oh, man, come at me, bro.
Hey, how about this, though? Somebody chiming in here. Book obtained and podcast added. Welcome. Been looking for some new content. Thanks for sharing. So there you go.
Oh, thank you. You guys are the best. Yeah, and you guys can find me on all the stuff and all the things if you go to flow.page/Kitsy Duncan. I've got a true crime podcast. That's why I perked up when you were talking about Dahmer. And I've got a podcast called Get Scared that indie horror writers send me their horror shorts. You got to be careful when you say the word horror. And I read them kind of like a ghost stories and you know, campfire stories. So it's my jam. It's all on there.
You beat me to the punch because I was going to make you plug yourself anyway. If people wanted to hear more or find out more about you or where people can reach you. I wanted to end the show with some blast from your past. All right. You ready for this?
Oh no.
Me and Panic recently have been on an investigation. Hear me out, to Reeder Road.
Oh.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you.
That was terrifying. I I investigated it as well, kind of, sort of, because I didn't know where I could and couldn't go because there were all these no trespassing signs everywhere. But yeah, I got some spirit box activity, I think, from some gangsters. I'm not going to lie. What about you guys?
I don't really know. We had the one that was speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
You remember that count? We had that the girl there. I can't remember her name, but we had a girl there who was doing a sensory deprivation experiment. And I had a little bit of activity. Not much. I don't buy into the Reader Road thing.
It's very
so
hyped
much.
Up.
It's very hyped up. But this girl was sitting there, and this is probably one of my favorite, funniest moments in investigation. This girl's doing it, and we're asking her questions, and she just kind of stops, and she says, "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know?" "I don't speak Spanish." Oh, man, I lost it. I was cracking up. We're at the railroad crossing, and I'm just crying laughter. I'm like, oh, my God, I've... never. And she's a younger girl too, so the sincerity in her voice, and she's just like, "I don't speak Spanish."
Well, it's interesting too, because you haven't seen it in a while, because it used to be a road. You a lot of people can't find it. It's just there.
When was the last time you've been to Reader Road?
Yeah,
Kitsy?
But it's different now.
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And there's houses on it.
Yes.
Did they have a walking trail there?
I didn't go on the trail. We were in a big old Raptor truck, but there's no trespassing signs, and we stopped. So we just pulled the truck over, brought out the odd box and the spirit box. And I was hoping at least get some like old mobsters that had been dumped there back in the day or something, because I don't believe in the lady in white out there or anything like that. But I did read on several occasions it was an old mobster dumping ground for bodies. So that might have something to it.
Then there's the story of the church. We talk about the Reader Road sometimes on the show, and I don't think people outside the region get it, but that's like the spot in Northwest Indiana that
not
I think
just Griffith. But...
I think it's the most like everybody's first investigation that lives out here. Everybody's been to that stupid road, and it's gorgeous. It's a nice walking trail.
Now it is.
And I think that was my first like local ghost story, and I went out there when I was like 16 with a flashlight because that's all I had. And now I wanted to bring that back to you, just so you could have a cozy moment thinking of home, letting you know that Reader Road is still there. It's paved now, and you can actually go out there and like take a walk or take a bike ride. Not back in the day, like it was just a dirt road that you think you're going to get stabbed at.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. Now, is the Klein Avenue ghost still a thing?
Yes. Yeah. The Klein, my old man, my dad, he works at the steel mills. And I remember growing up, well, a steel mill, not the mills. He's been at the same mill for like almost 50 years, but I digress. Growing up, my dad always told me about the Klein Avenue ghost or the Klein Avenue mist. And I never bought, I just thought it was my dad telling me a story, you know, but I kid you not, we had a viewer out that listening on the show once call in, and apparently that's a thing that goes around a lot of the guys that work at the mill right there, guys and girls that work at the mill right there by Klein Avenue have all seen this ghostly mist. Wow. And the woman that walks along Klein Avenue, it's not as talked about ghost story as I would say Reader Road is, but it's definitely up there. Fascinating story.
Yeah.
That could be the
Those
next book.
Those are the
book.
Two big ones I grew up with.
I'm glad I could bring you back to reality with the Reader Road.
Now, I love it.
Now, Kitsy, you plugged yourself, so you beat me to the punch there. You said something prolific, so you beat me to the punch there. What's next for you? We'll do that. What's next for Kitsy Duncan on her great adventures?
So I don't know. Things are kind of up in the air right now. Like I had said earlier, the boys, they've moved on. The band broke up. What was Oddity Files? I know what I want to do, and I want to make a difference. I these spirits talk to me. So I think I want to help people. Instead of going to these notoriously haunted locations, I think I want to help people dealing with things like this, or people that think loved ones are haunting their houses. And I'm not a people person, but I can be if ghosts are involved. So I think I want to be the Oprah of the paranormal, man.
that's all
the ghosts get cars.
You know, Count and I consider ourselves.
You get a K2 meter.
And you get a K2 meter. You know, Count and I consider ourselves like the, Conan O'Brien or Johnny Carson of the paranormal. So you know what? Nice. Shooting for Oprah is a good
one.
Oprah's a good one.
Keeping it local too, you know.
I dig it. You know, Harpo Studios is apparently haunted. Side note. I don't know this.
Does anybody know Oprah?
I don't know Oprah.
I think I remember hearing that.
No, there's apparently ghosts at Harpo Studios. True story. I don't know the ghost story. I don't know the ghost. I don't know the ghost story offhand. I just heard that Harpo Studios. Jack somewhere is typing up a storm, trying to rapidly put up the ghost. Because he know. I promise you, Jack knows. Or Jack's going to try to call back.
I'm going to have to Google it.
All right. But thank Kitsy, literally, I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. I was so excited. I was a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be interviewing.
You're just lying to me.
I'm not. I don't lie. I'm being honest with you here. I was nervous. You can ask Count. I'm like, oh, he's like, oh, you're getting Kitsy Duncan. I'm like, the Oddities File lady? What does she want to do on Bob After Dark? She was just on Coast to Coast, I think.
I almost had to do the show for Bob.
I was like, man, that's a big step, but sure, yeah, no, book her, get her next week, please. And, you know, I was really happy to hear that you came on, and I hope you had a good time.
I really did. I really, and I want to give a shout out to all those kids at Griffith High School that are in that paranormal club with Officer Greist.
Yep.
Mr. Greist. I'm not sure what Pete, you call him. I've only met him via Facebook.
You just Pete. That's
just Pete.
Pizza Bob After Dark. He was on the show back in October. We had him on as a guest, but Pete and I talk all the time, and he's listening to the show right now. He's been chiming on, and he was telling us about the Eastland disaster ship that sank offshore over there. And he was telling me the girl's name is Paige, but Pete listens to the show every week. And Pete, I just have a quick joke for you. And have you seen any pelicans lately? There is only one person that laughed at that, and that's Pete Greist. But I digress. But anyway, finish up with your shout out.
But I love what he's doing. And every chance I get to on my podcast, I'm talking about how, you know, my high school has a paranormal club. I can't imagine that's a thing all over the country. Of course, it happens in Griffith. Franklin Elementary School in Griffith, Indiana. Add that to my bucket list.
There you go.
It's now a YMCA, I believe. It was the high school back in the day. So, yeah, that's on my bucket list as well. But I'm so proud of them, the kids and Pete. So thank you for doing what you do with them. That's amazing.
No, good. Hear that, Pete? You got some publicity on the show. Hey. Pete's, I won't go diving into his personal life, but Pete's dealing with some stuff right now.
Sorry.
No, he's fine. He'll be okay. Mm-hmm. He's got to deal with it. It's just medical stuff. He's fine, guys. I don't want to dive into it.
Scaring people now.
No, don't be afraid. Yeah. Pete's okay. He's okay.
Okay.
Don't freak out. But I told Pete, I texted him. I'm like, hey, dude, you should call in because, like, Kitsy Duncan's on the show, and that's, like, a Griffith person. Here's your chance to, like, interact. He's like, oh, dude, I can't. He's like, I'm not feeling good. I'm like, okay, no problem. But just know that Pete's texting me, and he was very excited about that. So I'm sure and he just chimed into the chat, actually, and said thanks for the shout-out. And the kids are awesome.
He's amazing. He sends me stickers and little wristbands. He's awesome. I love him.
Can we send you gifts, Count? Do we have any gifts? We have buttons.
Curds.
We have buttons and cards.
You
want some cheese curds, Kitsy? I don't think we could send those.
Cheese curds.
You know, better yet, just come on. I don't know if I could send them. So that just means that you need to come up to Wisconsin with us, and we'll go have some curds.
Yes.
Then we'll go to the Burlington
Woods. It's
got to
happen.
But anyway, no, seriously, thank you for coming on the show. I can't thank you enough. And Count takes all the credit for getting you on the show. But this interview, I could keep going.
Along. So Sam, I got to give a shout out to Sam, too. Thanks to Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you. Okay, so you plugged it. You did your prolific comment. But I'm going to make you do another prolific comment. It could be anything in the world, something that's going to stand out. If you're going to be remembered for a Bob After Dark moment, I want this is the thing. This is it. Say something.
Go Panthers.
Hey,
that'll work.
Go the Panthers. Go team.
Count, you got anything to finish up the show with?
Well, it's been a great show, of course. Kitsy, thanks again. And I mean, all in all, I mean, I'm in the mood. Maybe take a trip to Wisconsin right now, right?
Pandemic.
They still got curds.
I'll get you some curds and bring them down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of Kitsy and Count, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams to mom and dad, Just want to say goodnight to you guys and to Tiff. No matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.